In the puzzling, frustrating, deeply tragic and unsettling case of Sandra Bland, it appears the psychological dimensions of being suddenly torn from her exciting new future, new job, in a new place, and instead thrown in jail were not well understood or anticipated by the officials in Waller County, Texas. Sandra Bland, found dead in a jail cell 3 days after an angry encounter with a seemingly overeager and intolerant arresting officer who brought her in after a traffic stop about a failure to use her turn signal. We have little more than a dashboard video of the arrest to go on, some video in the jail that shows she was left alone for 90 minutes with no observation, after which time she was found hanging. There are new details that she told jailers she once attempted suicide by taking pills because she said she had lost a baby. Now, the takeaway has learned that the Texas Commission on Jail Standards was not happy with the record of the jail's compliance with codes designed to monitor mental health.
We did issue a notice of noncompliance based upon a records review of the Waller County Jail.
Brandon Wood is executive director of the Texas Commission, who cites two areas of concern.
The first one dealt with training in regards to ensuring that no less than 2 hours of training each year were provided to all jail staff by the local mental health authority. The second one dealt with face-to-face observation of inmates no less than once every 60 minutes.
These noncompliance notices are more alarming when you consider that mental health issues are a constant theme in the U.S. correction system. Not only that, did you know that suicide is the leading cause of death in the American prison system? Robert Canning is an expert on suicide prevention in jails and prisons and is a senior psychologist with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Americans, he says, don't widely understand how much being taken to jail can be devastating, regardless of the question of guilt or innocence, and the responsibility authorities have to focus on mental health.
Well, I think that prisons have become much more aware of it in the last 20 to 30 years as pressure has come on them to recognize the significant trauma that people experience when they've been arrested and when they're put in this position, that people are separated from their families, they're separated from their belongings, they are all of a sudden in a situation sometimes for some people that is completely foreign to them.
And in that case, you don't know what sort of mental issues they're bringing with them, the extent to which they are vulnerable, and the idea that suicide is a leading cause of death in the American prison system suddenly suggests that the prisons are exacerbating problems that were there before the arrest.
Well, I think what happens with jails in particular, where the problem is biggest, where suicide is the number one cause of death in jails, is that, as you say, they don't know who the people are when they come to them. And so they've had to put into place processes like screening at the front door, screening when they do their medical checkups on people to make sure that they understand how much of a crisis people are in, what kind of coping skills they may have, and the problems that they're bringing with them to the jail environment.
And these codes that involve training of jail staff and face-to-face observation of inmates, these are codes that relate to making sure the psychological components of being jailed are making a safe environment for people. It's not simply about transparency for the officer's behavior, right?
No, that's correct. The professional organizations that have put these standards into place, organizations like the National Council on Correctional Healthcare, the American Psychiatric Association, have recognized that legally it's a duty of jails and prisons to make sure that people's mental and medical health are taken care of while they're under their care.
And thinking about this idea of prison in jail, it seems so counterintuitive to someone who has limited contact with the criminal justice system. You know, if you're innocent, if you're wrongly accused, why would you kill yourself in jail? It seems like that's the thing that someone does when they have no hope, when they're facing a life sentence. But in fact, it's the other way around. Help us to understand why this counterintuitive circumstance is in fact so common.
Well, I think what you said was that it doesn't make sense that people should be hopeless in this situation. But when they encounter a situation that is completely foreign to them, completely out of their experience, they may not understand exactly what their options are, and they may have feelings of being trapped. And when you are put into a jail cell and the routines are very regimented, You can't walk out of the room. You have very limited belongings with you. People can become very desperate, and their mental state can deteriorate over time, particularly if they're not sure what's going to happen, if the response that they had expected from their families or friends didn't materialize as they had anticipated. And so people can find themselves in very desperate straits. And basically, suicide can happen because people see no other way out of the situation. For someone who may have had a history of thinking of suicide or even attempted sometime in the past, it may be something that their mind gravitates to.
Given some of what you described, do you think everyone who comes into a jail is a potential candidate for a suicide watch?
No, not necessarily. It's up to the jail in part to collect the information that's necessary to make these sorts of decisions. Research suggests that in the American public that about 13% of people have had serious suicidal thoughts sometimes in their lives, but that doesn't mean that they're going to go on to commit suicide. Suicide remains a very rare event, even in jails and prisons.
Do you think, based on what you've observed and learned from public sources, that the case of Sandra Bland suggested that she should have been on a suicide watch?
That's really hard for me to say, John. The information that I've seen simply is the screening forms that they used, which they used 3 days before her death, in which she did indicate that she had taken some pills as a suicide attempt. They should have procedures in place to make those kinds of decisions about whether to put people on a heightened level of observation, yes.
Stepping away from the clinical sort of realm here, do you have just a general reaction to this whole frustrating, puzzling case?
Well, I think it, you know, suicide is a very tragic event, no matter where it happens. And when it happens in jail and it happens with someone who is seemingly on the verge of beginning a career and a life on her own, it's very sad. And it must be completely inexplicable to the people who knew her, as just the brief reports I've seen. Prisons and jails have reduced the numbers of suicides over the last 30 years, but there really is more work to be done.
Robert Canning is a senior psychologist with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation and an expert on suicide prevention in prisons. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.